What's up, everyone? This is the Hillside Ventures podcast. I'm Shivam Patel here with
Joseph Roberts
with a special guest, Alex Ha from Ivy Venture Capital Club. And today we're going to be talking about his journey within venture capital as a student, really how and why he started the club and his plans going forward. Before we do, let's have Alex introduce himself.
Sounds great. First and foremost, happy to chat and thanks for having me. So my name is Alex. I'm a fifth year student at Ivy Business School, pursuing a dual degree with global economics and business. Funny enough, I first started with actuarial science and then I switched to global business. And then a little bit about me, I was born and raised in Hong Kong for most of my life and I migrated to Canada when I was 16. And coming to university, I was really keen on doing finance. I was someone who has just always been very analytical. And just in the middle of that, I discovered startup and I discovered venture capital. And that has become a passion of myself. And now I'm a fifth year, decided to co-found the Ivy Venture Capital Club to build a community of students who are also interested in venture, startups, and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, so kind of with that, I know you explained your background a little bit. Could you just kind of dive deeper into the background and why you, and really how you got into the VC space?
Yeah, for sure. So it all went back to third year. Third year, it was 2020. It was the year of COVID. So when COVID hit, I was still on the trajectory of pursuing a career in finance. So for my third year summer internship, I recruited for a middle market merchant bank called Firepower, working in middle market private equity. And then in the winter term, I was just doing online school. Before I started my summer internship, I was looking for maybe like a side gig to do. Then I came across a startup called Diversio. So Diversio is a software that provides the company with dashboard to document how their pursuits of equity, diversity, and inclusion from using machine learning. So that was a very, very interesting moment where that was when I first understand how working in a startup feels like. So I was directly working underneath the co-founders and I was wearing a lot of hats and I worked at part-time while doing school. And then at the end of that, there was just like a light bulb moment when I spoke to one of the co-founders that I felt like I had a calling where I really wanted to continue and learn more about startups. So after my summer internship at Firepower, which is my third summer internship in private equity, I started looking into the idea of venture capital. So in August, September, I was just like, I put together the spreadsheets of all the Canadian venture capital firms that I could find. And we showed to them like one by one, just having these conversations and coffee chats. And I came across the fund Global Founders Capital. We recruited for over summer in October, fortunately landed it, and the rest is history. So that was how I was introduced to venture capital.
Awesome. I could definitely say that during the pandemic is when my interest started to spark in venture as well. But ultimately, you know, I wish I had that club, that organization to help me like really learn more about venture capital. So with that, like you explained the process of starting Ivy Ventures, you know, the process behind it, the organization, what you had to go through, if you could just talk on that.
Yeah, I think it would be best to start just understanding like the people that we're serving, the pain points that they have. I think at the end of the day, like for any club or any organizations or any company is to solve a problem. So for Ivy Venture Capital, I have gone through it firsthand, which is like learning venture capital is painful. It's hard. It's very individualistic. And in school, at least for my school, there wasn't as much infrastructure or like a support system around it. So there wasn't any courses covering venture capital. There wasn't clubs that were running events that constantly bringing firms for information sessions. So that was the problem that we faced. So when I first started with the Venture Capital Club, I was thinking like the mandate of the club has always been like making venture capital accessible for students. And now in 2022-2023, everything is online and digital. And we wanted to make sure have a good balance of events that are catered to Western students who are physically in London, Ontario, and also sessions that were virtual. that are accessible for other schools and have collaborations with these clubs. So the club on a high level is broken down into four pillars. So the first pillar is educations. So educations involves firstly podcasts, where we interview top venture capital investors and put that episode on Spotify as a leverage to build a content catalog. And the second pillar is in-person educations, where we would have classroom discussions on venture capital, due diligence. We go through some deals and look through some of the immersion technologies and just have like a very friendly discussions about the tailwinds, about the players, about the competitive landscapes, and things like that. And the second pillar is events. So events is the where we do a Toronto firm trip, where we visit some VCs, and we also do case competitions, which is upcoming in next week in London, Ontario. And then there's community, where we have a Slack community of 280 students where we share just like bit-sized news in VC and also job opportunities that we found. And then lastly, we have growth, which is more sort of less like the corporate outreach arm, where we build connections with venture capital firms and have them over for information sessions or some sort of like keynotes. So that's how the club is organized. And the problem is to make venture capital more accessible.
That's actually really cool, Alex. And like 280 students, that's a huge impact. And that's really cool that your reach is that far. Here at Hillside, we have around 30 people in the fund right now. And 30 people is a good amount of people, but 280 hits on a lot more and exposes it to more students willing to learn about this space. And I think that's really cool and super important to keep in mind. But with that, I think it would be great if you can kind of dive deeper on kind of your vision for the club in and of itself. And like, what are you guys doing to really carry that vision out? I understand you have your multiple pillars, but would really love to see where you think it's going.
Yeah, for sure. First on just touching on to like the point, like I think it's equally as important to develop like the depth of the relationships as well as the breadth. Like 280 people, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of reach. But at the same time, we're also really working on building the depth and making sure like people are engaged. People see IVCC as sort of their home club or like one of their favorite clubs instead of just like a medium for maybe info sessions or jobs. So that's also something we have been constantly working on. But in terms of like what I think about the vision or like in the future of the club, I think most importantly is that we wanted to give students an opportunity to work on hands-on projects that are related to venture capital. So some of the things that we're still working on is like, is it possible to do like a project type where we work with venture capital funds in Canada and we have our students to help out? Is it possible to have a fellowship program with one of the VC funds to help them do source or do due diligence? Is it possible to do maybe like an ad hoc project through the summer where we can help some of their portfolios with their strategy, ops, or business development work? So I think the direction that we're heading towards is like giving students the opportunities to get the experience as a VC and get a taste whether if they like VC or not. I think that's great for their personal experience. And it's also great for the club to continue building their reputation. And the grand scheme and the grand vision for the club is also to let students to invest as well. So like we have seen a lot of precedents across Canada and also in the United States where a lot of student-run VC clubs have eventually turned into a fund where students can work in teams, work in deal teams to go through deal flows, to conduct due diligence, present to investment committee, and as a result, like writing that term sheets and sending out to the company. So I think that's a vision that we have, and we're still working on it.
Gotcha. Yeah, in regards to the student venture funds, as you said, there's a bunch across the U.S. Have you talked to any other funds? One of the people we've spoken to is Atlan Ventures. They're out in Minnesota. And the cool thing about them too, like their structure versus Hillside. Hillside, we're under the UConn Foundation, their banner. So ultimately, we don't get any carry versus Atlant Ventures, they get 20% carry and 2% management fees. So it's awesome on their part that they get a they reap the rewards from their hard work. But have you guys talked to anybody else besides at that Hillside? Are you in contact with them?
Yeah, for sure. So there are a lot of them in Canada too. So like Waterloo, Calgary, they all have very mature student-run venture fund. And there was something similar to Contrary in Canada called the Frenville Venture as well. So we are in ton of conversations with them, and we have learned about like the pros and cons of running a for-profit and a not-for-profit. So like I think it has its own advantages and disadvantages. And for us, I think the most important part is like we wanted to prioritize like a great experience for the students. And decisions whether to go for profit or not for profit, it's very dependent on what the students want.
Gotcha. And kind of with that, I think that was a really cool insight there with like the fun aspect of like the vision that you have. I think it would be great to dive a little bit deeper on the two aspects of the club and what you guys offer. So I guess starting off with the podcast, I've listened to the two episodes. One with Diversio is really cool. Just kind of talking a little bit more about what you guys are doing there, what are the plans going forward, things like that.
Yeah, so this touches upon like one of my passions with like creator economy. I think with the presence of platforms like, starting with Google as a search engine where all the content were put into one place that organizes it. And now we have YouTube, now you're Spotify. And these are like just excellent ways for you to learn what in literally like every topic. So like what I think about for Spotify, I think I want it to be a destination for students who are interested in VC to have access to these perspectives from VCs that we normally wouldn't have access to. So like investors at could be a more prestige, bigger funds, or it could be an emerging market fund. It could be an accelerator. It could be could be VCs in emerging countries, or it could be VCs that invest in deep tech impact fund or like crypto. We want to document all these perspectives and put it on a common medium of Spotify so people could listen to it. I think at the end of the day, like, I once heard from Discord from like Justin Kong, just saying like, when you're building companies, like building a brand is so important. And the best way to be a brand is just to be helpful. So that's what you're trying to do, to be helpful and help students to learn about VC.
Yeah, that's great. And the podcast is a huge resource, and that's kind of what we're trying to do here with our podcast. And it's great that you're hopping on and providing value from this end. But kind of with that, there's the other side of things where not only you have the podcast, but you have the opportunity for students to, you know, meet venture capitalists and kind of check out how other things are being run in the industry. Can you talk a little bit more on how you guys are executing on that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it all comes down to like connections with like VC firms, and it takes a lot of baby steps. So like, a lot of times when we want to invite VC firms over to speak or to give information sessions, it's a very manual process. Like you reach out to them, you hop on a meeting with them, you build that initial impression and connection with them, and then you try to do a very simple value exchange. So like you provide them with a platform to speak with students, to have access to top talents for internships or to build a brand. And for them, and for us, we get to hear from these perspectives, and we get to hear from these investors who are working in VC, who are physically working with founders, and that's incredibly valuable. So, like, I think with that mindset, like, I think it's just important to make sure, like. Whenever you hop on a meeting with these companies, like you have a clear idea of what you want to get out of them, and what can we provide to help them.
Yeah, and with those VC firms you reach out to, I've researched a couple. Are you familiar with Chamath Papahalatia? I know he's from Waterloo, Canada.
Yeah. He's leading Social Capital. It's one of my favorite VC investors.
Awesome. Yeah, he's top five of mine. And, you know, going into that, are there any particular VC firms, you know, Sequoia, you have the Andreessen Horowitz of the world, or any startups that, you know, catch the eye of the Ivy Ventures, anybody you guys looking at and inspired to be?
Yeah, so like I think the firms that you just mentioned have always been in our minds, that we wanted to bring them over to have interviews with, to eventually have an information session with. I think, again, like it really comes down to just like compounding and building a track record. There's no overnight success where you can all of a sudden just have access to these firms. I think it really comes down to like bringing the different venture capital firms in Canada and then going more international. I think that has been more effective for us. That has been working for us than just like shooting to the sky, like right from the get-go.
Yeah. And I've just like thought about this, we as a fund have thought about this a lot, is our power as students and like being curious and wanting to learn from these different types of people. And I think it's very key in the fact that we can use our position to kind of get meetings and ask a quote unquote stupid questions in a sense, and willing to just say, I don't know, but I would love to learn. So kind of with that, how has being a student helped you in this space with venture capital?
I say it's like a lot more easier to network as a student, as you mentioned. I think there is privilege to be a student where basically you can like the message or cold email all kinds of firms and you would have a much easier time of getting a reply than if you would have to work in industry to begin with. Because let's say if you're working one of the other banks, one of the VC funds, it's not normal for you to like email people from other VC funds and hop on chats with them for career sake or like for, yeah, it just doesn't seem the norm because there is a clear conflict of interest. So then I believe as a student, there's no conflict of interest with any people from any industry. So like if you're a student, like I think it's really, really important to realize that and take a full advantage of that to really build a network across industries, across people at different stages of their life to see how they see their lives and learn from that.
Yeah. And, you know, as a student breaking into VC, just going along, there's a bunch of challenges ahead. You know, one of mine that I'm looking to target is underrepresented founders and VCs in the industry. You know, we go back to 2021. It was the biggest year in fundraising, founders collecting checks. And like about 5 to 6% of that only went to women, underrepresented races, and et cetera, going on to that list. But, you know, are there any other challenges that you see in the VC space, whether it be socially, financially? You know, the market's just taking a tumble back in 2022. Are there any challenges you see in the VC space right now?
I think there's always challenges. There's always challenges everywhere in VC. And I think you mentioned a good couple, like just like sometimes it's very inaccessible for someone who come from an underrepresented background, and it goes way beyond just like race or like goes way beyond like gender, like well, from a socioeconomic level, from educational background level, even from a geography level, like it gives you such a fast difference when you're coming from a different background, and you want to raise like venture capital. That's definitely one. And then I say another one, which is like, I think a lot of times like first time founders who have a lot of difficulty raising a fund, like not raising, but like raising capital for the first time. So like having support, having a good support system to walk them through like how that looks like and how they should approach it, it's important. And that kind of boils down to like, oh, like providing a great place for founders and VCs to get together just to exchange our knowledge and help them prepare for fundraising. That's important. And also just like, I think finding the right VCs is also really hard for founders, because at the beginning you may think like, oh, like fund A, fund B, fund C would just be like identical. But then it takes time to understand like, oh, they were ran differently. They have different platform operations. They have different org structure. They have different emphasis on portfolio support. And understanding that is also very important.
Gotcha. And with like both being a student, but also seeing these challenges in this space, especially with venture capital and all these different issues that come up based on like different aspects of society, kind of what is the best or the biggest lesson that you've kind of learned either personally, professionally through all of these experiences?
Yeah, I think the one thing I really took to heart is just like learning from people, like talking to people and forming these connections are so, so valuable. Like understanding how someone as a student, I'm 22, and a lot of you guys are probably younger than me. So like having working VC and like speak to all these founders who are in the late teens, like 20s or 30s or 40s, understanding how they see through their career, how they develop through their previous jobs, it's like massively valuable for me when it comes to like making my own career decisions, making my own personal decisions. So whenever I hop on a meeting, like I would come out of the meeting thinking like, do I want to be more like this person or less like this person? And forming these perspectives and seeing how different founders go through their life or founding journey really helped me forming my own ones too.
Yeah, I could talk on that too. Like, you know, you try not to replicate what other VCs or founders are doing because, you know, as a young student, and I will echo you, I'm 22 as well, but there's still a lot to learn. You know, you talk to these different people, you think they're doing great ventures, but you don't want to replicate what they're doing. You know, you want to go out there, create your own thesis that can echo from the hearts of others, you know, other people that are growing up, coming into our ages, you know. So I definitely harp on that. But ultimately, you know, here at Hillside, I've been definitely a great experience, and a lot of connections have opened up opportunities. After your stint at Ivy Ventures, you know, what have you gotten out of it so far? And, you know, where do you see yourself carrying it, you towards?
Yeah, for sure. So, like, I think there's definitely, like, what I got out the most is just, like, I think, like, people, it's really what you have. Whether if it's a company, a club, or a startup, I think it's so, so important to always be by your team side and help them, whether if it's like related to club or outside the club, to form that relationships where like there wasn't any differences between like your VP or like your director or like your president, your like founder or whatsoever. I think at the end of the day, like we are a team, and we lift each other up, we help each other, and forming that mentality, I think it's very important when maybe one day I would like to start, like whether it's like an organization, a company, a startup, an agency, really valuing your people and learning how to mentor, empower them, and support them in a new way. I think that's my biggest learning. And then what comes after that, it's like really immersing myself into another human venture, just like understanding and learning more about different companies and meeting more founders. And it was funny, like I'm starting to have these conversations with founders. I'm not representing any company. I'm just a student, but they were interested in asking for my feedback, asking for my input on fundraising or on products related to creator economy. And like, I love doing that stuff. And yeah, that's something I want to look forward to and I keep doing.
Yeah, so kind of going off that, like from kind of the stuff that you're doing at Ivy Ventures, it would be great if you can kind of give the audience some tips on being successful in the venture capital space through your experience, through what you've learned, kind of being a co-founder of a big organization and kind of being in the space yourself.
Yeah, I think it's still too early to tell whether if my club is successful or if it's that big. But then I do have a few tips that I do want to share. So two things. So the first thing is like, I think it's really, really important to have to set goals for whatever things that you do. Set goals and set an achievable deadline. And do not just shoot for the star from the get-go. It's like, okay, like I want to reach like 100 students by the end of this month. I wanted to host like maybe 3 podcasts by the end of this semester. I wanted to like host this many events. I want to host like 5 information sessions throughout the semester. And I think having goals really help align what everyone thinks and what everyone could expect from the club. And then everyone could just coordinate and work towards it together. So that's one. And the second one is to document a journey. I think especially as like a first year club, like there wasn't any sort of personal systems that we really follow. So like a lot of times when we're hosting events, we're doing podcasts, we're learning from the get-go. Like we started with Zoom and then we iterate to like Riverside. We started with mostly just like our educational format has also changed over time as well. It's just like making sure you keep documenting how things were going and keep reiterating to the best thing that you could, because your first product is never gonna be the best. But what's important is like you need to ship early and ship more, and then the volume would help you reiterate and slowly become better ones.
Gotcha. So with everything that you've done, it's been amazing actually just listening to the podcast, hearing about your journey and what you've been able to provide for students and yourself. It would be great if you could just talk a little bit about how the audience can interact with you and what you guys are doing at Ivy.
Yeah, for sure. So if you're a student outside from Western or outside from Canada, like we're highly encouraged to check out our podcast. It's called Ivy Venture Podcast. Where we interview the top minds in venture capital space, both in Canada and in the United States. And for people who are in Canada, we're definitely encouraged to reach out. We'd love to have a chat with you guys. And yeah, again, support and follow and our club through your social media.
Yeah, for sure. I'll make sure that all the links and everything, how to contact you, is in our show notes and very accessible for our audience. But yeah, that kind of wraps things up. Again, lastly, if you guys have any questions or ideas about the podcast, please feel free to reach out to me and Joe. And I'm sure Alex would be more than happy to answer some questions about venture capital. Super passionate about this space. So always love to kind of meet new people. That's a great opportunity. You can also stay updated with us through this podcast, our Substack newsletter, and our Twitter at Hillside Ventures. But with that, we appreciate your time and listening to the Hillside Ventures podcast. This was Shivam Patel here with Joe and Alex. We hope you have a great rest of your day.